We're going to talk about relationships this morning. And I think that's going to be one of the key things that is going to help us accomplish the vision that God has for our church here at Turning Point and in our lives personally. So last Sunday afternoon, I'm sitting on the couch and I'm watching the Cowboys game, right? Watching the Cowboys both win, but then also lose in the big picture of things. And my 7-year-old trooper walks up to me and he sees me on the couch watching the game. He goes, "Dad, I think we need to do some bonding." And that's not really a word that we use around our house all that often. But I said, okay. I said, "Well, man, I'm watching the game, and why don't we just sit here and we can bond and watch the game?" "No, Dad, that's not bonding. That's just watching football. We need to bond." I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, you know, like talk about something or do something together." I said, "All right, well, let's go bond then. What do you want to talk about?" And so we began a conversation. And it's interesting, even at the age of 7, he's looking for connection. He's looking for relationship, right? There's been so many I didn't have to tell him to seek out relationship. I didn't have to tell him to want to find connection with his father, to have that part, other people that you live life with. That's something that is innate inside of us. There's so many studies and so much research that is done about the love and the connection that even an infant experiences as soon as they're born with their mother and their father. If they feel loved, even before the time they remember all of that's going on, how much of a psychological, spiritual, and emotional impact that has on a child. I think relationships are something that is so important to God. I think God created us to bond with people, to be in relationship with people. We were created for relationship with him, but we were also created for relationship with others. And you see this illustrated in the Bible from the very beginning. So when I was a teenager, you know, I'd read the story of Genesis several times, and I think it was when I was about a teenager, I kind of recognized an interesting verse that I didn't exactly catch the verbiage before. And it's talking about God, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he spoke, and there was light. And then over the next week, he begins to create the waters and the land and all the birds and the fish and all the animals. And then it gets to verse 26 in chapter 1 of Genesis, and it says this: "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.'" And I wondered if my Bible had a typo in it, because he uses plural verbiage there: us, ours. But what I realized, and after speaking to some people about it, is that God has always been an us. Because the Bible says that Jesus has been at the right hand of the Father from even before the foundation of the earth. The Holy Spirit has always been there. Jesus was so gracious in the obedience of his Father to come down to earth and make a way for us. He was so gracious as he ascended back to the Father to send the Holy Spirit to be with us forever as our helper, as our comforter. God has always been in relationship. And God has always wanted to provide relationships other than himself for us. From the very beginning, he wanted us to be in relationship. If we're going to carry out the commandment, the great commandment of loving God and loving people that Jesus gave us, we're going to have to be in relationship to effectively carry out the mission we have. Because loving God is a relationship. Loving your neighbor is a relationship. As you love yourself, that's a relationship. So God is going to use other people to meet our needs. Did you know that he did that? He started out, the first thing he said that this is not good is when we get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. So I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" He gives Adam a job, meaningful work. And then he gives him a meaningful relationship. And it's so important to him. And we see this all throughout the Bible as God brings people into others' lives. The Apostle Paul is one of the greatest representatives of this. I love his letters to all the different churches. He's so grateful for all of the people that God put in his life. He constantly gives thanks, sings praises, thanks them for sending him things, thanks them for coming and being with him. You see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5 and 6. "For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the inside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, God who is able to comfort and encourage every situation in and of himself, he doesn't need anybody else, he chooses to comfort us by the coming of Titus. God could have just poofed Paul. Do you know what I mean? He could have, but God chose to use a relationship to bring comfort and encouragement to Paul and the disciples. See, I firmly believe, and I know this is true in my own life, relationships can be one of the greatest blessings that God can give you. It's one of the greatest ways that God can meet your needs before you even ask. But relationships are hard. Can I get an amen? Amen. Especially at this time of the year, one of the things that kind of discourages me about the holidays is we talk about, yeah, Thanksgiving is coming up, Christmas is coming up, New Year's, and we're going to be around friends and we're going to be around family. And all of a sudden, the joy of this season is to some extent stolen because of relationships, that they can be challenging. It's because we hurt each other, because we don't do what we say we're going to do, because we lie, because we manipulate, because there's sin in our relationships. That's what makes relationships so difficult. You see that from the very beginning in the creation story, that God created the man and created the woman, and he put them in this beautiful garden, and their relationship was perfect with him. And he gave them one thing. You can do, you can eat everything in the garden, but don't eat from this one tree. And then Eve makes a choice. The serpent comes in and deceives her. And she eats from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and she gives some to her husband. And the Bible says that their eyes were open, and they realized that they were naked, and they felt ashamed. And so they covered themselves, and they hid. They disconnected. They tried to hide and move away from the relationship that they had with God because of sin. And I think we do the same thing. When sin enters into our relationships, whether it's us sinning or us experiencing shame or other people sinning against us and us blaming other people, I think we do the same thing that Adam and Eve did. We cover up. We put on the mask. We disconnect and we hide just like Adam and Eve did from God. But we're going to be in those relationships again. People are going to find us just like God found Adam and Eve and said, "Where are you?" And they said, "Well, we hid ourselves." "Why did you hide yourselves?" "Well, because we were ashamed. We were naked. We didn't want you to see us." "Well, who told you that?" And then Adam and Eve do the second thing that we do. We try to measure up. First we cover up, and then we try to measure up. We defend ourselves. We justify. And so Adam justifies. "It was her fault. I'm enough, but this woman you gave me, God." And then Eve does the same thing. "It wasn't me, it was the serpent." And the serpent couldn't say anything. He couldn't speak. God just cursed him to be on his belly. But we do the same thing as we experience sin and hurt and pain in relationships. We disconnect, we cover ourselves up. We try to hide, we justify, we blame, and we make excuses for our disconnection. You know, I think all that we really want in life, deep down, I think this is something that God has put in us, is we just want to be seen and we want to be known. And there's nothing like being seen and known by your Father, by having him call you by name, where you can completely be uncovered and vulnerable with God, without fear of rejection, without fear of disconnection. But we don't always experience that in our earthly relationships. That disconnection is something that is so pervasive in our culture. You see, at a time when our society is more connected than ever, I think we actually have less connection. There's so many ways through social media, through the internet, through telephones, through all these different ways that we could connect with each other. We don't really experience that genuine connection because we've disconnected, because we've checked out, because we're okay with that. There's an artist a few years ago that took some just everyday candid shots of people in relationship and then removed the devices that we get so easily attached to. And you see, what just looks like might be a normal evening, these people aren't connected at all. What should be a celebration of a wedding, and they're not connecting with one another. They're not in relationship with one another. They're checked out. Because it's so easy to be focused on what everybody else in the world is doing rather than thinking about the relationships that I have right in front of me. As my 7-year-old would say, bonding. If we do nothing, I think we will fall further and further into this disconnection. Because all the research shows right now, this generation that is coming up, that has grown up with just these and they don't know any different, they're the loneliest generation that we've ever had. They synthesized relationship, but it's not real. I think God has more for us than that. And I want to use this phone as an illustration. This phone in and of itself, if it has no connection to a phone line or data, any of you guys ever lost connection and you just get the big thing with the, right? Isn't it frustrating? This phone in and of itself, without a connection to something on the outside, something greater than itself, all it really is good for is playing games. And sometimes I think when I disconnect from people and I'm just left to my own devices, that's about all I'm good for too. But once we establish that connection, all of a sudden this smartphone has the ability to interact with other people and get things from the outside that help it function to its maximum capacity. I think we're the same way as people, because God, just like this phone, God wired us for connection, to be in relationship with other people. Dr. Henry Cloud, who's a Christian psychologist, has written several books. You may have heard of him. Boundaries is one of the big ones that he wrote. He does a lot of research on relationships, and I really love the verbiage that he puts to the different types of relationships that we have in our lives and making distinctions, because relationships can be, to some extent, hard to differentiate. Because even though we're disconnected, going and just finding a relationship might not be the answer for us. That might not be the type of connection that we're looking for. He calls the first one, he says this, there's just disconnection, but then what about just a bad connection? Because not every relationship might be beneficial to you. It might not add value to you. Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So not all of these relationships that we enter into are better than disconnection. There can be some that are just bad relationships. Some of those are very obvious. If there's abuse, if there's neglect, if there's manipulation, those ones are pretty obvious. And most of the time, we try our best not to be in relationships like that if we don't have to. But some of them are more subtle. What about those relationships where you just really feel like you can't be you? That you have to cover up, or that you're always having to measure up, and you're never good enough. Do you know those that feeling of when you walk away from talking to someone, or you've talked to them on the phone, or you got an email or something, and as you leave that relationship, you just feel like, I feel less than. I feel like I was just belittled. I feel like I just got discouraged and brought down. I feel like I should be ashamed. I feel like I don't measure up. I feel inadequate. I don't feel worthy. It might be a symptom that that relationship is just, there's a bad relationship. There's a bad connection there. But so many times we think that's better than disconnection that we don't do anything about it. Maybe it's that bad relationship where the influence on your life is not what God would have for you. Anybody ever had some bad friends? Just taught you bad things? I've had those relationships in my life. I've been those relationships in my life. Your parents always tell you, my parents always told me, they were here first service, you got to worry about the company you keep, right? Because bad company corrupts good character. That was under the assumption that I had good character to corrupt. I don't know what my character was like at the time. But in high school, they would tell me that over and over and over. And the friends that they chose for me were not only good to me, they were good for me. Some of the friends that I chose for myself, not so much. So I joined the golf team when I was a freshman in high school, but I couldn't drive yet. And we'd go to practice after school for seventh period, and we'd play around at golf, and we'd go hit range balls. So I had to get a ride from one of the older kids. And I thought this dude was kind of cool, so I was really excited to be able to ride with him to the golf course. And we started going by the convenience store every couple of days, and we'd get a snack on the way to the golf course. And then one time he goes, "Hey, man, let's steal some snacks today." "Why?" "Just 'cause." "All right." And I kind of thought he was a cool guy, and so I went along with it. And that turned into a couple of months of doing that every once in a while. And then it turned into, we stopped by Jibo's one time, "Hey, steal that slingshot." "All right. Apparently I'm a good thief. I don't know." Got out of Jibo's with a slingshot. So I finally get a car, and that should solve the problem, right? I don't have to drive with this guy anymore. But it didn't, because my character had changed a little bit. And all of a sudden, I'm the one driving the car. And I'm the one that's talking a couple of my buddies into cruising around one night and shooting out a couple of car windows. Now, don't worry, because the statute of limitations in Hale County has run out. And the authorities in Plainview, they already know about this. Restitution has been paid. Community service has been done. But the point is, bad relationships yield bad results. And a companion of fools will suffer harm. That's why bad relationships hurt. And when those bad relationships hurt, so many times we just default back to no connection at all. We just disconnect from people. And then sometimes we try it again and we find these relationships that just kind of feel good for the moment. Dr. Cloud would call these like fake relationships, fake connection. These are really just surface level relationships. These are the people that nothing ever really gets vulnerable or deep. There's no growth really in the relationship. It's just an opportunity to hang out with somebody and feel better for the moment. Maybe this might be some golfing buddies that you just kind of disconnect from your family and you go play golf, or drinking buddies and you just go to the bar. Maybe it's some ladies that you just know, I can call them up and gossip at any time and say whatever I want to say about everybody else, and then we just kind of go along our way. And they make you feel good for the moment, but there's really no value added to your life or to their life. You don't seem to share similar values. I think a lot of times our relationships, especially through social media, function in this way, kind of this fake connection. Because we feel like we're connected with them, but there's really nothing of substance there. They don't really know me. I don't really know them. There's just this momentary surface level connection. It can be very deceptive to have synthetic relationships like that, because most people, they don't know any better. And so it feels like it could be the real deal. But I think God has something deeper for us. And if we're really going to love God and love people, I don't think you can give what you don't have. And so if all we have is surface level, synthetic relationships that don't have vision, that aren't open with each other, I don't think we can pass that on to people. I don't think we can love God until we really, truly experience the depth of His love. I don't think we can love other people if we don't know what it really feels like to be loved by someone. That's why it's so challenging for people who've been abused and neglected to really jump into a relationship, because they don't have a frame of reference. They don't know what it's like to be valued apart from what they do. But God made a way for us to find connection and to experience God's love in a way that transforms us to where we love ourselves, and then we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And I think if we really want to be changed in that way, and if we want to bring change to other people's lives, we have to be willing to enter into real connection relationships, life-giving relationships. And I think there's some characteristics of what those look like that I want to give us this morning. Because there's got to be something different than just the fake connections and the bad connections, which typically lead us to disconnection. This type of relationship is what God has for us. I said it earlier. I think these are relationships that are both good to us and good for us. And they have different characteristics. So I want to describe these so that you know, do you have the real deal? Because this is the biblical relationships that we see illustrated throughout the Bible. The first characteristic of these types of relationship is that the relationship has some vision. The relationship has a purpose. We both know where we're going with this relationship. We share values. We share goals. We share the path that we're going to walk on. We both value God's word. Maybe if I'm in a relationship with another man my age, we both value marriage the way that God values marriage. We're both committed to that. See, that's what differentiates this relationship between the fake relationships is most of the time the fake relationships just tell you what you want to hear. But there's no shared vision. They're not calling you to that higher place that God has for you. Amos 3:3 says it this way, can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? This relationship asks the question, where are we going? How do we want to grow? How can we help one another? And typically, a lot of times, the fake relationships and the bad relationships, it's very circumstantial. It's all about feelings, or maybe we have a shared interest, or we go to the same school, or maybe we live in the same neighborhood, we have same hobbies. But these real relationships aren't nearly as dependent on those things because we just have a similar destination. We want to walk a similar path, a journey. I've been so blessed to have people who are not in my season of life, who don't have the same interests that I do, but that are further down the path as a father, further down the path as the husband that I want to be, further down the path as the leader that I want to be, further down the path as the man of God that I want to be. And I see the fruit in their life and I say, can I follow you? Can I walk with you for a season? Would you be my guide because you're in the next season of life with your children? You've been married longer than I have, and I see the fruit between you and your wife. That's what I want in my marriage. Could I walk with you? There's people who are coming along behind me who ask, they see the fruit in certain areas of my life, and they say, could you show me? Could you walk with me? And I say something similar to what Paul says. Yes, follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, don't follow me. Amen? These relationships have vision because that's so important to be able to look down the path of asking the question, where are we going? Is there purpose in this relationship? Here's the second thing. These relationships have vulnerability. There's an openness. There's an honesty. There's an authenticity to the relationship. We're not so much concerned in covering up and always trying to measure up or puff up. We just really want to be ourselves. And there's an authenticity to this relationship where I can be me and you can be you. And it doesn't mean we have it all figured out just yet. But because of the love that we have in Christ Jesus for one another, we can to some extent hold each other's mess in a healthy way, knowing that we're walking the path together. 1 John says it this way, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, talking about Jesus, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. As we choose to walk in the light, as we choose to be vulnerable with one another, as we choose to be open, and not put on the front, not try and measure up, not try and puff up, is we really allow people to see where we're really at and what we really struggle with and what we're really afraid of. As we allow them to get in the boat with us during the storms of life, it says that we have true fellowship. And the blood of Jesus provides the forgiveness and the mercy and the grace that we need to be in true covenant relationship with other people. We need that forgiveness if we're going to be in relationship with other people. And I'm not saying that you have to tell everybody all of your secrets. This is not about just the first person you meet at school or the first person you meet on the first day of work and you just unload all your stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. Y'all know those. You're laughing because you know those people, right? I think there's an authenticity that goes to every relationship. But there's a reality that there's certain relationships that you have or because of the things that you value and the trust that you've earned with one another, those people have earned the right to hear your story. I want to challenge us to be more and more vulnerable, knowing that by definition, vulnerability means I'm opening myself up to get hurt, to get attacked, to show you my weakness. But I think that vulnerability is what allows us to experience empathy one another. It's that vulnerability that says, I know that you want to encourage me to get out of bed, but I can't get out of bed. I'm so hurt. I'm devastated. I don't even see any hope for the day. And I'm just being completely honest. It's that vulnerability that allows somebody to sit in that dark place with you. And they don't have to say a word other than I'm with you. And we're going to get out of here together. I'm going to help you. I think that vulnerability, that authenticity, really leads to the third key of these relationships, which is having accountability. We don't like that word in our culture. Accountability always feels like the IRS is coming to audit you. But I don't think that's biblical accountability. I think that's judgment. And that's not our place. Biblical accountability is more so about both people coming and encouraging one another, helping each other raise the bar, helping each other know and calling out who God created them to be. Not just what to do, but who to be. Because God has called us. He's given us purpose. He's given us a calling. He's raised the bar for us. He has good works that have been prepared beforehand for us to walk in obedience, and we need people in our life to call us to that higher place. That's another one of the big differentiations between these types of real biblical relationships and those fake relationships that don't ever call us any higher. It breaks my heart when I talk to people who are going through a challenging time and all they have around them is fake relationships who are never going to raise the bar for them. When they go and they talk to their drinking buddy about, oh yeah, my wife, and we're just fighting, and oh, my wife, she does the same thing. Let's just go play golf. Let's forget about it. Rather than raising the bar of, hey man, who has God called you to be as a husband? And when you made that covenant with her, was it circumstantial? When you got engaged to that woman, it's not okay that you disengaged. Having those people in our life who are willing to challenge us. Having those people in our life who call it what it is, who tell us who God says we are. I think it's less like, you know, the tax man coming and auditing you and finding all the discrepancies, and more like maybe having a buddy at the gym who's your spotter. All right? Your trust, if you've ever been on a bench press with a bunch of weight, you're trusting that spotter, right? But you're giving them permission to speak into your life. Not to hold you accountable for what they want, to hold you accountable to what you said you want. You're the one that's going to try to lift the weight. They're just the one that's going to come alongside you and say, okay, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. You've never done this much weight before? Come on, I got you. I got you. One more rep. Let's go. You can do it. Let's go. They're the one who says, you know, when you don't show up to the gym, they ask you about it. We need that in our lives, because I don't know if you guys are like me, but I think you are. I have no problem letting myself down sometimes. Do y'all know what I mean by that? I tell myself every night I'm going to eat healthy the next day. Every night. I tell myself every night I'm going to get up and go to the gym. I tell myself every day I'm not going to talk to my wife that way. I tell myself every day I'm going to be the best dad ever. But then life happens. And I become insecure, or I become scared, or I'm tired, or I'm weary. And I need those people outside of myself to come alongside me and pick me up off the ground and tell me you're better than this. Who has God told you he's called you to be, Jonathan? Well, let's do that. Let's be that way. Let's think on those things. I'm going to raise the bar from you, and I'm not going to let you quit early. That's what biblical accountability is. These are the people, these types of relationships that are both good to us and good for us. And they're so good for us because they provide things like perspective. We need that perspective in our life. We need to see the world in a way other than just the way that we see it. I think one of the most dangerous places for me to be is in a situation where I'm thinking about something or praying about something, not even praying because I'm asking God for his perspective on that, but where I just get caught in my own motion, my own emotions, my own insecurities, my own desires, my own selfish ambition, and pride takes over. And all that pride says, this is a simple definition for pride. The way I see it is right. That's what pride is. And my pride will take over. Because my pride doesn't really care about the truth. It just wants to be right. My pride doesn't care about the way I'm acting as a person. It just wants to be justified. My pride doesn't care about forgiveness. It just wants to take the circumstances and the fact that this person really did hurt me, and so I can be offended towards them. I need that perspective to come alongside me. That perspective that is outside of my emotions, outside of my mess, outside of my bubble, and help me see things the way that God sees things. Have you ever had those types of relationships where somebody just simply asked you a question? Have you ever considered this? Have you ever thought about this? What do you think God says about that? I love how we sang that song this morning about he's still working all things together for my good. He's not finished with me yet. There's been so many times when I didn't see what God is up to when he's working. And because I had those relationships in my life, they were able to show me exactly what God was up to that I didn't want to see. The reason I didn't see it is because his ways are greater than my ways. His ways are most always different than my ways. And I need those relationships. One of my buddies calls them taproot friends. You guys know what a taproot is? On a tree or a plant, it grows all these roots that grow out to the side to pick up water and nutrients and stuff, but then it grows this really big, thick root that goes way down deep. And that taproot is to keep that plant upright, but it's also when things get dry and when it doesn't rain in life for a while, that taproot friend is going way down deep in the truth of God and love for you to help bring you what you need. Perspective. They bring you encouragement. They're the people who don't discourage you like the world does, because we need encouragement so bad. That word just means to put courage into. There's so many times when I felt insecure, when I felt inadequate, when I felt I'm not enough. And those people come around me in my life and they encourage me. They tell me how things really are. They tell me who God says that I am. The writer of Ecclesiastes says it this way. This is chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We hear that verse spoken a lot at weddings, talking about husbands and wives, and then you add in the third cord, which is Jesus, which is God. But what about in these relationships that we have with our friends? In these relationships that are so vital to our life, I will tell you that when I have partnered and decided to be in a real, vision-driven, vulnerable, accountable relationship with other people, and God is in that equation, that is a strong cord that cannot be broken. And I am a product of the relationships in my life. I really am. God has changed my life, but even more so, he's brought people in to help me walk this out. Because I'm full of faith on Sunday, but Monday comes quick. Y'all know what I mean? But I think these relationships in our life are really what take that Sunday faith and turn it into some Monday faith. And then all of a sudden, Monday turns into Tuesday, and Tuesday turns into Wednesday. And then all of a sudden, this discipleship walk, being Christians, being disciples of Christ, all of a sudden it turns into a lifestyle. It begins to be less about just the things that we do and more about who we are and who we walk with. I think we need that in life. These relationships like this, they don't just happen. I think we have to be intentional. I think we have to water these relationships. I think we have to be aware and look for these relationships because they take time to develop. I've been so blessed to have so many men and women in my life come alongside me with like value, with like vision, who were following after God and just allowed me to walk with them for a season of life. Sometimes it happened for days. Sometimes it was weeks or months. Sometimes it's been years. I was intentional about those relationships at times. But then there were times just because of God's goodness. Because he knew what I needed before I even asked. Because he knew I wouldn't ask. Because of his providential hand in my life, that he brought people into my life to show me himself, to help call me to a higher place. People like Mr. Keller, my fourth grade teacher, he's the coolest guy in the world. He changed my perspective on learning. He gave me a fascination and a curiosity with people and learning. He ignited something in me that just wanted to know more and more and more about people. I think about a guy named Jabbo. I was only with him for about 6 months. And he saw leadership in me that I didn't see in myself. And he decided to call that out in me and began to start a fire in me of leading and, more importantly, serving people. I think about a guy named Al who really taught me how to take care of people and how to serve people and how to treat them well. I think about a guy named Matt who just chewed my butt up and down every day, but he would not let me settle for being anything less than my best. I think about a guy named Charles who really struggled with physical and mental disabilities. But he inspired me so much because he would never let the challenges of life make him stop taking care of people, make him stop working hard. That inspired me. I think about a guy named Miles who changed my marriage, changed the way I saw what God had for husband and wife, changed my vision for my children and how to be a good father with the Father's heart of God that I try to show to them every day. Guys like this have changed my life. Think about a guy named Kevin who taught me how to be generous, changed my perspective on what money was to be used for, to bless people, to further God's kingdom. Having those people in your life who change your perspective and encourage you through life, who share your values, who walk with you and won't let you settle for anything less than your best, the best that God has for you, those will change your life. If we're gonna have relationships, we have to be able to water them. I want you to imagine if this church were full of relationships like that. Not only people who are connected to those who are gonna inspire them and encourage them and hold them accountable, but what if we were those people for others? Because our world desperately needs people who have vision to follow God, who are going to be authentic, who are going to be honest with each other, who are going to decide to be vulnerable and transparent. I think we need to have an authenticity in our Christianity that's not about judging people. It's not about pretending like we have everything together, but it just says, I see you and God sees you and it's okay with you seeing me and we can walk together and we can help each other grow. We can be changed and every day more and more conformed into the image of Christ together. I think it's important that we find those relationships. What would this city look like if everybody in this church was committed to that? I want to tell you that's one of the things that we value at this church is those type of relationships. One of our biggest ministries here at Turning Point is our community groups. Because we said we want to provide an environment where we can foster these types of relationships. Where relationships can have a common vision of following Christ and becoming the men and women of God that He's called us to be. Where we can raise godly families. Where we can help each other through the struggles of life. Where we can teach each other how to be hospitable, how to pray, how to be open and honest, how to apply God's word to our life. We really value that here because I think when we can take a Sunday message, when we can take worship, when we can take prayer, and we can take it down to the family level, that becomes a daily practice. That's how it becomes a lifestyle. As we choose to enter into those relationships, I want to encourage you. We're going to be starting up our community groups here in about 3 weeks, but starting next week, you'll be able to register for a group. Take that step of boldness. Take that one courageous step to say, hey, I want these types of relationships in my life.